if you want to live and build a better life, you're going to have to respect God's principle of partnership. Some of you are lone rangers trying to live a better life. And I came to tell you, you can't be a lone ranger and get the will of God done in your life or in the lives of others. The lone ranger wasn't even alone.
Hello and welcome to this Friday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Well, today we find ourselves in Nehemiah chapter 3, the time period after Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, but before he began rebuilding the wall. On yesterday's broadcast, which you'll find on demand at PastorPaul.net, Pastor Paul talked about the importance of reinforcing our gates, which are the easiest points of entry for the enemy. That means being careful what we watch and listen to, because our eyes and ears are the gateways to our mind. Today, he moves ahead to yet another critical area, the principle of partnership. It's a much-needed reminder that the Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. Here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, Keys to Building a Better Life.
Now, we're currently looking at the fact that while Nehemiah chapter 3, at first glance, seems to be just a list of names and areas of the wall that were rebuilt by certain people, I mentioned in the last message that I think before we move full scale into chapter 4, we need to learn a couple of lessons from chapter 3. And I covered the first of those lessons in the previous message, which is the importance of rebuilding or repairing your gates. If you want to live a better life, this story tells us not only how God blessed Nehemiah to rebuild the broken wall of Jerusalem, this book helps us understand how God wants to help us build better lives for his glory. And one of the lessons we can learn from what they did is the importance of repairing gates. They focused on not just the wall, they focused on the gates that had been torn and burned. Because if you don't have security at the entrance level, you can't have security overall. And as it is in the rebuilding of this city, so it is in our lives. So I talked in the last message about the importance of repairing our gates in our lives, the eye gates and the ear gates in particular. And if you recall, I talked about the fact that you can't just look at every old thing and focus on any old thing if you're going to live a better life. Some of us have to examine and repair the things that we are taking in, the things that we are focusing on. I talked extensively about the eye gates and the ear gate. You got to be careful who and what is coming into your life by way of information. You can't just listen to any old philosophy, any old so-called guru, any old talk show. You got to be careful what you read and how it influences you, what you listen to by way of music and how it influences you. The idea is not just a list of do not, do not, do not. The idea is if I want to live a better life, I got to take in better information. And I can't listen to junk and live a quality life. I've got to understand that if junk comes in, junk is going to go back out. And so we talked about the importance of the eye gates and the ear gates and put it in balanced perspective. Now I want to move on and talk about a second key that's in chapter 3. And again, this is a chapter a lot of people ignore because it just seems to be a lot of lists of names and areas of the city. But one of the other things that you see in chapter 3 is not only did they repair the gates, and not only must we repair our gates, but number 2, you've got to learn to respect your partners. Respect your partners. If you notice in chapter 3, they'll talk about one leader and the area that he and his people worked on. And then it says, and next to them, so-and-so was doing another part of it. They worked next to each other. They worked side by side. There was no isolationism going on. There was nobody saying, this is my project. All y'all stay away from me. Don't worry about what I'm doing over here. You worry about what you're doing. There was a sense of connectedness and there was a sense of partnership. In fact, the reason why this wall was built in 52 days, less than 2 months, this entire project was completed. Why? Because the people worked in partnership. And I've come to tell you in this part of the series that if you want to live and build a better life, you're going to have to respect God's principle of partnership. Some of you are lone rangers trying to live a better life. And I came to tell you, you can't be a lone ranger and get the will of God done in your life or in the lives of others. The lone ranger wasn't even alone. Now, how many of you all are willing to admit that, like me, you grew up at a time when one of the most exciting things on TV was the Lone Ranger? Come on, old heads. Come on, old heads. He had a white horse. Who knows the name of the horse?
Silver.
He was not alone. Why did they call him the Lone Ranger? Well, I know why. I studied the whole history of the Lone Ranger. They called him that because the premise of the whole series was he was the sole surviving ranger after an attack. He was the only one left. But he knew, although all the other rangers were gone, he needed to find somebody to help him do the rest of what he needed to do. And so who was his companion?
Tonto.
Now, I later came to find out that that is a term that offends some folks. I didn't know that growing up. We just thought Tonto was just his name. And I later found out when I started pastoring multicultural church and folks said, you know, Pastor, in our culture, that is an insult. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that, but that was the man's name. So y'all got to take that up with whoever wrote the, that's not my problem. I'm really sorry it's offensive, but I don't get to rename him. But his name was Tonto, and as kids, we didn't know anything like that. They were hooked up just right. Because when he needed somebody, Tonto was there. He said, all right, be right back, Kimo Sambi. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember Tonto's horse's name?
Scout.
Scout, look at that. What you talking about? Don't you fool with us old heads. We can tell you something. Here's my point. If the Lone Ranger knew better than to be alone, you and I better hurry up and learn that lesson. You can do the will of God. You can build a better life, but you cannot do it alone. These folks had partnership going on. That's why they built this wall in record time. And if you want to build a better life, you're going to have to find some people who can take up the project alongside you of seeing that the will of God is done in your life. Just as these people had a sense of collective responsibility, there are those in the body of Christ who are coming to understand that God has called us as one body to work together. When you read books like the letter of Paul to the church at Ephesus, when you read Ephesians, you'll see that we are fitly joined together. When you read 1 Corinthians 12, you see the same thing. You see the idea that the church is a body that fits together and works together, and each joint has something it supplies to the health of the body. These days, we have a bunch of folk trying to be independent wonders, do a great thing all by themselves, and I'm here to tell you that is not a biblical norm and you will not be successful. The Bible talks about the importance of partnerships from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You will see everyone who ever did something significant for God, everyone who built a better life, did it with partners. You cannot talk about Elijah without talking about Elisha. You cannot talk about David without talking about Jonathan, and later on about his faithful men who came to the cave and met him even when he was a fugitive on the run. Some folk found him who needed what he had and he needed what they had, and they came together in partnership. You cannot talk about a Moses without talking about a Joshua who ministered to him and later on took the baton from him. You cannot talk even about Christ without talking about the 12 men he discipled.
We'll be right back with more of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. But first, this reminder, our website, pastorpaul.net, is the place to go to find out more about our ministry. There you can order selected resources or make a safe and secure donation to the ministry. Again, our web address is pastorpaul.net. And if you haven't already, download the free Destined for Victory app. Search Destined for Victory in your app store and listen to the program right from the palm of your hand. The app also allows you to order resources and make secure donations. From the very beginning, God designed life to be about partnership. It's not good for man to be alone, he said. Pastor Paul shares some insight into this special brand of partnership in the rest of today's message, The Keys to Building a Better Life. Let's listen in.
There is always partnership throughout the Word of God. When the church got started, when they began to go out and do the missions work, you don't see Paul going out alone. You see Paul going out with Barnabas. And when he and Barnabas fell out, you see Paul going out with Silas. Because you can't get the will of God done alone. And you've got to learn, God has some partnerships for you. Marriages are supposed to be godly, dynamic partnerships. If you get married, it ought to be to somebody who is going where you're going and they can help you get done what God has called you to do. You don't get married for personal convenience. You get married to do the will of God. And so if you don't find in your partner somebody you can pray with and somebody you can talk with and somebody who can give you the word of God and encouragement, then my friend, you got some work to do on your marriage. Because we're supposed to be one of the most significant partnerships. In fact, Paul said in one of his writings that a marriage ought to really reflect the relationship between Christ and his church. And so a lot of us have a lot of work to do to get in sync with our marriage partners. Because marriage partnership is supposed to be a teammate, a dynamic teammate, not a dynamic foe in the person you married. Do you know a lot? Not yours, but there are other marriages where they act more like opponents than teammates. Do you know what's wrong with you and your spouse being foes and enemies? When you have a teammate, the two of you face opposition outside of you, and the two of you work together to conquer the opposition. A team works together to beat its opponent. That's what a marriage ought to be. Team working together to beat everything that will come against the will of God in your lives. But a lot of us, not you, but somebody on your row, has a marriage where they act like each other's enemies. What's wrong with that picture? When you have an enemy, you're supposed to take them out. You see what's wrong? How are we going to get the will of God done? And we got all these marriages, folk are busy fighting each other. They can't fight the devil together. They can't fight dysfunction. They can't fight all the things that come against us because they're busy fighting each other. So we got to get that partnership together. That one was ordained of God to be a blessing. God didn't create marriage so you could be miserable. God created marriage so you could be blessed. Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord. You're supposed to be blessed because you're married. You're not supposed to be cursed because you're married. So if you got cursing dynamics going on in your marriage, or if you got cursing going on in your marriage, you got some rebuilding to do. And it means going back to the word and saying, what did God want and how can we get from where we are to where he wants? And so you got to do that. You got to start talking about it. You got to start praying about it. You got to humble yourself. One person can't say, well, yes, as soon as they do everything I want them to do, we'd be fine. I know what the problem is. You go look in the mirror. There's the problem. All right. So that's one of the partnerships God ordained. Friendships, platonic friendships, God ordained. Look through the Bible and you'll see people hooking up as friends, as covenant partners. They're not married. They're not sexual. It's a platonic friendship. Everybody needs somebody in their life they walk with in covenant who knows you, who knows who you really are and what your needs are and can make you a better person. And so we need platonic friendships. We need Jonathan and David kinds of friendships in the body of Christ. We need Ruth and Naomi kinds of relationships. Sometimes they can be different generations. but each needs the other person. And so I need you to look at your friendships in this section of the series. I need you to look at your small groups. Not only do you need a one-on-one friend, sometimes you see people and it's a group of them, 4 or 6 or 10 or 12 of them, and they all kind of consider each other close covenant friends, and they walk together in partnership. And it's not so much that you have a best friend, but you have a group of best friends. And that can work well. People who walk with you in covenant and who get to know the real you. And then a church is supposed to be a place where it is functional and where you're getting stronger because you're part of a healthy church. If you are part of a church that is one of the biggest problems in your life, then like a marriage gone wrong, you're in the wrong church. Because a church isn't supposed to be your problem. A church is supposed to be part of your solution. And so we got to make sure our church and every other church stays biblically healthy. You handle things the Bible way. You make sure relationships are clear of stuff that needs to be properly dealt with. You make sure you're governed by the word, not the opinions of people, but the word of God. You make sure that egos are out of the way so God can have his way in whatever is going on. And so church ought to be a good place. It ought to be for all of us. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to church. I'm looking forward to going to church. Not, oh Lord, it's Sunday. Got to go in there and fool with them people. No, you're not supposed to be thinking like that when you go to church. If that's going on, we got some problems to work out. And if you got something going on in this church, come tell pastor. There's some stuff that needs to be properly and biblically addressed, and I promise you it'll get addressed. Because I'm not the kind of person that just is content to just show up and preach and go home. We're either going to be a functional church or we're going to close the door. Because I've been around church folk all my life. A dysfunctional church is something you don't want to have anything to do with. I'd rather be flat out worldly than fool with dysfunctional church folk. As I'm talking, I want you to ask yourself some key questions about your marriage or about your one-on-one platonic friendships. I have to keep saying platonic because this generation has got to learn. The Bible says there's only one context in which sexual activity between people ought to take place. There's only one in the universe, according to Scripture. That is the monogamous marriage of a man and a woman together. That's it. Society can say what they want. I can't stop them from saying what they want. I can't stop them from changing laws and creating all kinds of atmospheres where sin is fine. This is a biblical church. I'm a biblical preacher. We got to stick with the word. I've had to preach when I was wrong. I can't stop preaching truth when I'm wrong. I sure ain't going to stop it because you're wrong. We all have to measure up to the word. The word is not coming down to us. We got to go up to it. And so you need to understand this. There's only one context in which your relationship can be sexual. That's if it is one man to one woman connected for life till death, not till misery. So you got any other relationship going on that's sexual in nature? That has to change so that you can please God. You go home and say, Pastor, enlighten me from the word today. We got to make some changes here. It's happening all the time. I'm doing more weddings now than you can shake a stick at. Don't even bother coming to an office. I go to their house. We got the license, Pastor. I said, I'll be over there. Go over there, put them together, drive off. Y'all going up there. Y'all going back upstairs, do what you've been doing, but now you can do it in the will of God. I don't tell him that part. I don't. We're all learning. We're getting older. Eternity is coming closer and closer. You got to start living like you know one day you got to answer to God. You can't just keep doing your thing and hope for the best. We got to line up with the word and the will of God. And so look at your marriage partnership. Look at your platonic friendships. If they're not platonic, make them platonic, or y'all can't be friends anymore. Look at your small groups. Are they functional? Are they acting the way God wants them to be? Are you having the right kinds of dynamics? Look at your church. Make sure it is functional according to the word of God. These are the kinds of relationships God has given us so that we can all get from earth to heaven and be fruitful on the journey. So as you look at those types of relationships, here are the kinds of questions I want you to ask yourself. Who's walking with me? I don't mean just walking next to me. I mean walking with me. See, God doesn't give you partners just so somebody can physically be in your space. When I say somebody walking with you, I mean they know you. So the kinds of questions that help flesh that out are things like, who is encouraging me? Who is inspiring me? Who is challenging me? Who is admonishing me? Who is speaking truth to me? That's a big one. Some of y'all like folk long as they don't tell you about yourself. But as soon as they tell you, you know what? You have a real problem in that area. Suddenly, you're not answering phone calls anymore. You're not responding to texts because you're home mad. You big baby. You ought to be glad when somebody loves you enough to tell you you have a problem in that area. The Bible calls it speaking the truth in love. Sometimes the truth hurts. They can't help it that the truth hurts. They love you enough to tell you the truth. If the truth hurts, you're going to have to work that out. And you work that out through saying, you're right, I got to get this together.
Do you want to live a truly successful Christian life? If so, you'll need partners along the way, people who will spend time with you, encourage you, pray for you. Pastor Paul Shepherd knows from experience just how crucial partnership can be, and it's such a blessing to him over the years that people like you have partnered with him, lifting up the ministry in prayer and making donations when you can. Listeners like you have helped take Destined for Victory from a handful of radio stations to a worldwide platform from which the gospel of Jesus Christ is boldly proclaimed. Lives have been dramatically transformed. Thousands have been led into a growing, eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet, there are still so many left to reach. To help us do just that, there are three ways you can give. Give us a call at 855-339-5500. Secondly, visit our website, pastorpaul.net. Or third, mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. In appreciation of your gift of any size today, we're pleased to offer you by request Pastor Paul Shepherd's newly released book, Rebuilding What the Enemy Almost Destroyed. Have you ever had your world reduced to rubble? Ever faced a situation that seemed impossible? That's what happened to Nehemiah, but instead of throwing in the towel, he threw his hat in the ring, pressing on towards his high calling in Christ Jesus to prevail against overwhelming odds. In Rebuilding What the Enemy Almost Destroyed, Pastor Paul reminds you that no matter what Satan may have stolen and no matter how impossible the odds, God can help you rebuild your life and return to you the joy of His salvation. Contact us today to get your copy. It's yours this month by request for your gift of any size. Call 855-339-5500 or visit pastorpaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. And you can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Here's what King Solomon said about the value of friendship. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. With a preview of our next message, here's Pastor Paul.
But you need to be as sharp as you can be. And that takes somebody being abrasive sometimes, rubbing you in ways that aren't comfortable sometimes.
That's Monday in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Keys to Building a Better Life. I hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, if you happen to live near or will be traveling through the San Francisco Bay Area this weekend, Pastor Paul would love for you to join him for worship at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont. Have a great weekend, everyone, and remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.